everybody, and welcome to Books Unbound, the podcast where we unbind books to get to their hearts with your hosts, me, Ariel, my pal, Raylene, and today our guest, we've got Noelle in the house. Noelle, say hello to the people.
Hi to the people. This is so fun. I'm so excited.
Woo! I'll also say hello. I am here, I yes, swear to God.
Oh, man, I thought it would be too complicated for me to introduce Raylene and introduce Noelle. So, Raylene, I sacrificed you at the altar.
That's okay. Sometimes people think I'm not actually here during guest episodes because I don't talk a lot, but I swear I'm here. Just letting everyone know.
That's just me throwing my voice. I've perfected Raylene's accent perfectly.
My accent.
We are so glad to have you here, Noelle. We've been trying to do this for weeks, and we keep missing each other. So
ships
here we
passing
are
in
all
the night,
sitting and recording. How is California?
California is hot. We've got some wildfires going on. We've got, you know, just quite a bit of heat and no air conditioning. So that is the plight of the Bay Area. So that is
right before we started recording, I had to turn my fan off, and I also don't have air conditioning, so we can all melt together.
The beautiful, know, smoky, hot thing that we've all got going on.
Yes.
Oh, man. Well, this is going to be a great time. Noelle, I love your videos. I love your content, but I also just love you. And I'm really excited to ask you some of these questions. So if nobody here has been if nobody here has listened to one of our guest episodes, we start off by asking some deeply important questions to get to know the guest. And then we answer some recommendations from our listeners that we have tailored. We have picked out perfectly for our guest. The third one has nothing to do with Noelle. Well, maybe there's a backstory there because you did pick it. So we'll see how that goes. But we're going to start off by asking you some questions to get to know you as a reader. So,
love it.
Noelle, question number one. A tough one, but not as tough as the second question.
Oh,
who
dear.
Who is your favorite author?
You know, I was juggling this in my head earlier and just thinking, like, there's just so many authors and not enough time in this world. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And how do you just pick one? Yeah. You know? So I'm not going to just pick one. I'm going to give you a couple. I just feel like it's a question set up for failure. And so I got to say, I love Britt Bennett. She's the author of The Vanishing Half and The Mothers. God bless us. Whatever she comes out with, I will be reading it. I love her writing. I think she also, like, her character development is just like, I'm actually meeting people, which I think is the best. So I love her writing.
That's exciting to hear that because I just bought The Mothers. I say that I've lost all sense of understanding of time. So maybe it was months ago, but I got The Mothers. And I'm, like, super excited because I also love The Vanishing Half.
Oh, she's just so good. And I was like, oh, The Mothers isn't going to be as good as The Vanishing Half. And I still like The Vanishing Half more, but I didn't realize, like, how strong her debut novel was going to be. Mm. So it's just, I thought it was fantastic. So I love her. I love, okay, here's the deal. We all know, I mean, if anyone watches my videos, they know I love this movie or this book called The Hating Game.
Yes.
So I want to say Sally Rooney, but I only really, really, truly love The Hating Game. So I want to say her, but it's really just The Hating Game that I love so much. So in terms of romance authors, Helen Hong, the author of the Kiss Quotient series.
Yeah.
Oh, good. She can do no wrong for me. I just love her so much. So, yeah, I think that Britt Bennett, Helen Hong, and there's a classic author. I mean, I want to say Jane Austen, but it's too obvious. I can't.
Well, I don't think it's too obvious. I think we're in a day and age where people are like, I almost feel like there's like a counterculture thing that's kind of like everyone loved Jane Austen so much. It's like a Nickelback effect, okay? Where it's like, it's like people don't even want to say that they love jamming out to some of those. Nickelback song comes on the radio and you're like, I guess I hate the song, but I also know all the words. And that's a very interesting person who says they hate it. But like, I think that there's this thing where it was like Jane Austen was so big in the 80s and 90s. There was like this massive explosion of popularity there that then kind of trickled in. But now it's like too basic to like Jane Austen, but she's fucking great. So
I know. I also did like two presentations on her this year, so I feel like I know her a little bit better than I did before. She just has a soft spot. My mom introduced me to her book, so I think it's like it would be hard for me to not mention her.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. I was on the Jane Austen House Estates website, and I deeply considered purchasing a quilt kit.
That's the most aerial thing you've ever said. Browsing weird website, wants to start a new craft.
Love it. It's too true though, because basically like I was looking at this website to see like is it a cool museum or not. It's the house that she lived in, and they were like talking about the different things that you can see in the Jane Austen house, and one of them is this insanely complicated quilt that Jane Austen and I think her sister and her mom quilted together. And like the website description was going into details about how complicated this freaking quilt was, and like it would have took them years to accomplish, and they probably would never have used it as a quilt because it was like basically a big project. And then I was looking at the gift shop and they had a kit so that you could make the same quilt.
That's awesome.
But like easy, like paint by numbers version of quilting. And I was like, yes, I'm ready to commit 2 years of my life to that quilt. But then I realized I don't know if I actually like how the quilt looks.
You're like, why did I spend so much time on this? It's hanging on your wall now. It's not even nice.
Just a massive tapestry. All right. Well, there you go. Maybe we learned a little too much about me, but we learned just the right amount about Noelle. Question number two. Your favorite book. And I'm guessing this is going to devolve into your favorite books.
It has to, right? I mean, it has to. Is there just one that's just perfect beyond reach?
Animal Farm. What?
Oh! I haven't read it. I have never read Animal Farm. Do not.
That's okay. That's okay. Hurt me. That's okay. That's why I know that it. That's why I know you haven't yet read the perfect book. Not
until. Got you there.
Wait, do you like Animal Farm or 1984 more?
Animal Farm. I love both of them, and I think that there's better quotes and like punchy messages in 1984, and I absolutely understand why 1984 is more popular than Animal Farm.
Okay.
And like if I got a tattoo, I would prop like a Orwell related tattoo, I would probably get a 1984 tattoo, like the 2 + 2 = 4 thing, as opposed to an animal. I don't want a pig. What do I'm gonna get a pig tattoo? But no, Animal Farm for me is peak perfection. But that again, ugh. Why are we talking about me? Noelle?
I'm sorry. It's just
your show.
I love a good conversation. All right, let's choose favorites. I mean, I just mentioned this. The Hating Game to me is just my romance comfort, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not saying it's perfect. I know plenty of people who don't like it, and that's fine for them, but it's just, it's where I go when I'm feeling down, and I feel like that's a good, it's a good favorite book qualification.
How many times have you read that book?
I've read it twice, but then I go back to certain passages a lot that are just, like, really sweet to me, so, and I actually just earlier today was like, why not just read it again? I mean, why not, done. Before school starts again?
Raylene, have you read that book? I feel like you have.
Yeah, I read it last year, and I thought it was okay. Okay. So I can't really backpack onto the super love of The Hating Game. I was like, that was fine.
Yes,
all right,
exactly.
Let's move on.
I was talking to another friend who runs a podcast, and she's like, you know, I don't really get why it's your favorite, but I think it's fun for you. So
great. I love that.
Yes. So I think it's got to be that. I also fell in love with Everything I Never Told You by Celeste Ng because there are, oh my God, the sibling dynamics and resentment. Oh, it's like candy. It is so good. I loved it so much. And then... you know, I feel like just my, like, literature master's degree heart should say a classic, but do I want to? No, I should save it for the recommendations we're going to give later.
All right. Well,
so
Teaser. Spicy. Everyone, keep listening. Don't get off on the podcast. My God. Actually, I think this is the perfect moment, though, because I did want to talk about this on the pod. Noelle sent me a lovely gift, and I wanted to share it on the Instagram. And I was like, how do I just... I'm going to take a photo of it. But I was like, wait, Noelle's coming on the podcast. She sent me this beautiful poster. 2 + 2 = 4, but then the 5 is breaking through. Ooh. Symbolizing the metaphor, Raylene.
I see that. I can see it.
So nice. I will post a photo of this on the Instagram, but because I think people are really going to like it. And also, it's a cool company that you introduced me to here, Noelle, Obvious State.
Oh, yep.
So yeah, people, check that out. I don't know where to put this in my house yet. I'm like, I need to find the perfect spot. You know what I mean?
I know. That's totally tricky. I have 2 prints by them, and once it clicked, they're never moving. Even if I move out of this house, I'm just going to leave them where they are because I don't think they'll fit anywhere else. But I totally understand. They're like too simple to just put anywhere, but they're, I don't know. I love them. So
I do. I thank you for my gift. Before things get way too awkward and cheesy, though, let's move on to favorite genre. I love asking this question because people tend to... There's a lot of people that don't. I know that there's like people who are just general readers and they'll like read anything. But people tend to have some genres that they kind of pick up more of their books in those genres. So what are your favorite genres?
I think if before the pandemic, it was definitely thrillers and mysteries and just horror in general. And then I think actually they started to stress me out too much. And I haven't really looked at this in my own brain too much, but I think it was like... This is a little much. Yeah. Like, I'm scared already, and I don't want to be more scared.
Yeah.
We watched one of the scariest horror movies I've ever seen in my life the other day. And while I was watching it, I just was like, why do you do this? Like, it's just not the time to be this stressed
what
out.
What movie was it?
It was called The Ritual.
No, I
you can find it on Netflix.
That movie is spooky.
Oh my God, you've seen it.
Yeah, that one really psyched me out. When I was watching it, I was like, oh, there was something in the background there. I saw something. What was that?
Oh my, exactly.
It's really good, though. I watched it 2 days
in a row
because I liked it
so
much.
Scary to me.
That's horrifying. Yeah. I always think about like, I was watching Elijah Wood's interview on Hot Ones. Anybody else? And
Hot Ones.
And he's such a charming, lovely individual. But he, like, one of the questions that the host Sean Evans was asking was huge Hot fans or Hot Ones fan. But I was he asked like, Elijah Wood, you're a really big fan of horror movies, and like you've done a few and you've produced a few, and I was like. First of all, hard to reconcile that with, like, Frodo. I'm like, Frodo loves horror movies?
Pardon?
He, like, loved the Mordor aesthetic. That was the worst joke I've ever told. I'm so sorry. Anyways, so... but I was thinking about, like, producing or filming a horror movie. Imagine spending months in that mindset. Like, every day you wake up and you've got to think about that world and you've got to, like... I think I would hate that. I don't think I could do that. Sounds awful.
You know... Sometimes because I work as a, like we, I'm a video editor full time, but we do a lot of video shoots. So I know like how a production looks like. And so usually to unscare me, I will picture the lighting setup and I'll picture the camera moving.
Absolutely.
And that usually helps. It did not help with The Ritual because there was just some shit that was not okay to see. So yeah. But, you know, back to the question, I would have said horror or thrillers. I think that if I had a pie chart of my reading, then it would have been like 75% of the pie. And now it's more probably like 10%.
Wow.
I'm much more into romance. And that's probably because of, you know, I had to go the opposite direction. I needed to find something that was calming me down and would just make me happy. So I definitely read a lot more romance than... probably any other genre.
Totally. Well, there you go. I kept saying that I was going to read a bunch of romance this summer, and then I didn't. But you know what? Maybe this fall.
When it's spooky season, you may as well read some nice romance.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
All right. Well, now it's time to ask you what your latest mashed potato book is. And This, thankfully, is an opportunity for Raylene and me to explain to our own listeners what the hell a mashed potato book is. We need to do this every time we have a guest, because I don't think... How could anyone... This is, like, not a thing that anyone could intuitively understand. It doesn't just, like, click and make sense.
I would love to hear what people think we're talking about when you say that. Like, before somebody understands what it means, that would, like, be a really interesting potato, conversation. It's like,
lumpy, an ugly book. Raylene, could you please, for the people, explain what a mashed potato book is?
Yes. It's funny. I always try and, like, explain it in a different way, but there's only so many ways to explain this.
Yeah.
So the theory is, you know, you have a plate of food, you have your favorite thing on the plate that you might save for last. For me, that's mashed potatoes. If you're eating a meal with mashed potatoes, that's just what it is. So that's where the name came from. The idea is, what's a book that you either are saving because you know you're going to love it, but you wait so long to read it that it's like, what the hell was I thinking? These mashed potatoes are cold now. I should have just eaten them right at the beginning when I knew they were good, you know?
Classic.
And so that's kind of the general gist. What's a book that you just keep putting off reading because you know you're going to love it, or you hope you're going to love it?
Yeah.
It's a weird thing.
Or
we do,
alternatively, you could tell us one that you conquered. Like, there was a book lately that you're like, wow, that had
you
been sitting there for
potatoes.
8 months, and finally I ate those mashed potatoes. Noelle, what comes to mind?
You know, okay. A light answer to this, I have two answers. A light answer and very recent answer is the book Ariadne by Jennifer Saint. It was something that I had kept seeing around, and I picked it up and I had started the first like page, and then I was like, it's not the time.
Mistake.
You haven't finished your turkey yet. You know what I'm saying? So I put it to the side. And so I didn't. So I put it off. I finally read it because of a buddy reading, actually. And then it was spectacular. I actually really liked it.
Oh, wow.
It was really similar to Circe by Madeline Miller, which, by the way, I should have mentioned, Madeline Miller is also one of the favorite authors. Should have said it.
Nice.
Totally forgot. So Ariadne. But if we're thinking, like, this is the finest feast I've ever sat at... And I was so, so intimidated by this book.
Yeah.
Like, so terrified of this book was Don Quixote.
Yes.
I was so afraid of them. I was just like, it's not going to happen. I can't do this. It's too long. And also, it was my grandma's favorite book of all time.
Wow.
And so I was just like, it's a legacy I won't be able to live up to, or it's going to go right over my head. And I had to read it for school. Only part one. I didn't read part two of Don Quixote, but I at least read the first volume. And I don't remember the last time I've laughed so hard at a book in my entire life, especially for something that was written so long ago.
Yeah.
I just thought it was so funny and smart. And I don't know, that like shifting narrative perspective of like, who's the author? That was really cool. Cervantes like writes himself into the book, which I thought was really cool. And I feel like you don't see that a lot. And so that was my mashed potato for
Damn, that's going to be mashed potato hardcore. That's going to be buried with me. Bury me with a copy of Don Quixote, ladies and gentlemen. Will I ever read that book? Oh, man. Well, I guess you may have just answered this with, because it sounds like Don Quixote or Ariadne did this, but what is the last great book you read? A book that really blew you away.
Oh, Lord, I shouldn't have given it up so fast. No, I think it's, you know what? I'm going to say it. It's going to be this. Sharks in the Time of Saviors. It's like the yellow book with the shark on the cover.
What a beautiful cover.
It's so amazing, right? It's that gradient, that ombre.
Yeah.
It was one that I was like, okay, it clearly has to do with water. Maybe one day I'll get to it. And then I actually got to it, and it was just also I read it with the audiobook, and each character gets their own narrator, which I just think really elevates the experience. And I mean, I thought it was just greatness, so I loved it.
What is it about? I haven't heard about it.
Oh my God. It's about these three siblings who grew up in Hawaii. Mm. And one of the siblings, his name is Noah, has always kind of just had a better understanding of the world and nature, and can kind of predict things and can kind of like read people's minds. Not truly, but he just understands things before anyone else around him does. And then one day they're all out, the whole family's out on like a boat trip, like just around to like sightsee, and he falls into the water and the sharks start to circle him. And then the sharks, like the mom's watching it, just like think, like just knowing that her son is going to die. But instead, the big great white shark picks him up in his jaws and delivers him back. Oh my God.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And I know. When he delivers him back, then Noah has an even greater understanding seems to have this power in him that he wants to use for good, but he can't really wield it at his own mercy. Like, it just has to come to him when it's ready. And so it's all about, like, family and Hawaii and using that kind of inner power for something greater than himself. And it's just, it was stunning. It was wonderful.
Damn, that sounds so good. God.
I know.
You might have just convinced me.
We're gonna go buy a new book. Oops.
Oh no. well, our final question here for before we jump into our recommendations. What are you currently reading? What's on the docket for Noelle Gallagher?
Okay. Love it. I just finished an hour ago The Chosen and the Beautiful.
Oh, okay. Well, let's talk about this because Raylene just finished it two weeks ago. How'd you feel about it?
Well, can I hear Raylene's impression first? <Uh-oh>.
I didn't really like it, but that's also coming from, like, I love The Great Gatsby. That's something about me. I have, like, 35 copies of that book I collected. I love it. It's great. It's wonderful. Mm-hmm. And I felt The Chosen and the Beautiful was, like, too similar to, like, there was too much of it that was just, like, straight out of The Great Gatsby. I was hoping for more of a retelling that wasn't, like, this is exactly what happened. And the magic just felt like it was kind of thrown in as an afterthought. And I was kind of like, what is going on? It felt like it was The Great Gatsby with, like, some magic sprinkled onto it. But it didn't feel like it had much new to add. And I didn't like Jordan as a main character. As I pointed out, she doesn't even golf. She doesn't even golf in the book. She's a golfer. Why doesn't she golf?
Insane.
So that's my hot take.
I know when the golf got brought up, I was like, wait, she golfs? I was like, what is
happening?
One of
my friends read it and I was like, oh yeah, so like how big is the golf aspect? And she was like, huh? What do you mean? I was like, uh-oh.
Noelle, have you read The Great Gatsby?
I've read it once last year.
Okay.
Narrated by Jake Gyllenhaal.
Ouch.
Which was
beautiful.
Quite the delight. Ouch. Ouch.
Oof, right.
So I have only read it once, so I think maybe that's why I had a different experience with it, because it's not a book I know very well, and so there were even things that were happening where I was like, oh, wait, does that happen in The Great Gatsby? Or is this just a fun story I'm reading, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that maybe since I didn't have... Because I've read reviews like that, too, where, like, if you really loved The Great Gatsby, it seems like you're like, okay, well, it's too similar, but not similar enough. Like, it's almost exactly the same.
It's hard to explain, yeah.
So I thought the writing was really dazzling, but I do think that there could have been a lot more magic, and that could have been really cool.
Yeah.
And that would have been... I also just love, like, when paper is talked about in books, because you're reading off of paper.
Right.
And so the fact that there's so much paper in the book, and, like, paper magic, and cutting up paper, I thought
really
that was
cool.
Awesome.
Yeah, the magic system was cool. It's like, I just wish there had been more of it, and that it was, like,
exactly
actually part of the story.
Yeah.
My God. So you just finished that an hour ago, so you're not currently reading anything.
I am reading something, and it's called The Dating Dare. It's just a little romance. I got it as an advanced listening copy on Libro FM, and you know, so far it's just something to get my mind working on something, and it's really, it's fun and it's silly, and so far I'm liking it, but I'm only on like chapter 4, so.
Beautiful. Right, on our last episode, Raylene was talking about They're There by Tommy Orange, and I was like, how is it? She's like, I don't know, I'm on page 8. And I was like, okay.
So, don't ask me questions.
What are you both reading?
Oh, thank you for asking. That's lovely. I'm currently reading Anne of Green Gables. And fucking hell, I am disappointed that everyone isn't reading Anne of Green Gables. It's so deeply good. I'm actually kind of considering, like, never, like, not, I don't know why I said never. I got a little too passionate. Anne does that to me. Putting all other books, like, out of sight until I've read the entire 6-book series. I don't know if people know that Anne of Green Gables is a 6-book series. And the 6th book isn't even about Anne, or maybe it's 8 books, actually.
There's 8.
Yeah, yeah, sorry, there's eight.
I don't want to interrupt, but there's eight.
No, yeah, there's eight. The eighth book isn't even really about Anne, it's about her daughter. So it's like, it literally goes from Anne being, I think in the current book, she's 11. She like grows all the way up to being an adult woman with a job and a husband, and then she starts having kids, and it's like her entire life is in these books. And I'm just like, yeah, that sounds about like what I should do for the rest of the year. I agree.
I had no idea.
I agree.
Have you watched the show?
Have I watched that show? I would say I haven't stopped watching that show.
within that show.
Yeah, since I discovered it like last year. I started watching that show last year, actually in August. Wow. My God.
Wow.
Oh. My 1 year anniversary. Get it? Anniversary? Thank you.
Oh, no.
But yeah, so I watched it last year and it moved me. And then I rewatched it. And now I'm at this point where I'll just like throw on an episode, like a random episode here or there. But the other thing is like being Canadian just sort of means that you know what Anne of Green Gables is about, because there's like an animated show that was like on TV when we were kids, and there's the 1980s movies that were like always kind of playing. So the people we know about Anne. But really, yeah, you're currently reading There, right? You don't have anything
else
on the go?
I don't have anything else on the go. I just recently finished The Anthropocene Reviewed by John Green. And it was great. It was a good time. And then I was just like, all right, I don't know what to read next. So I just picked There. I just randomly picked it. But I have basically nothing to say because I am on page 8. But good so far. I'm liking those first 8 pages. Yeah.
I had a question for both of you.
Oh.
Are you mood readers based on the seasons?
Noelle has really flipped this interview around.
I 100% am. I really, really am. Like, as soon as September 1st hits, I'm like, give me the fall books. Give me, like, spooky adjacent things. And then once October hits, I'm like, I want to read nothing but horror and I want to be scared. And, like, for me, it's mostly fall. The other seasons, I don't really care so much. But fall just hits me in a different way. And I really want to immerse myself in that vibe. So, yes.
I agree. I don't think that what am I trying to say here? I'm bad at reading. I think that's the basic thesis here. And like this last year, I have not read very much. And so it's kind of hard to detect any trends when you've only read 12 books or whatever. But typically, I do know that I don't really read heavy books in the summertime. Like, it definitely becomes a time when I'm like, no, I'm not going to pick up like a Russian classic. That's a winter book. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. Totally.
So I definitely agree that it does happen, but I just haven't been reading enough this year to really be like to nail it down. Because I mean, like I said, I had all these visions of reading a lot of romance books this summer, and instead I just,
that's the dream.
I guess I went on my phone. I don't know what I did instead, but here we all are. Well, Noelle, if you don't mind, I'll go back into the reins here.
Take control. Take it back.
Soon we're going to... Secretly, Noelle will just start showing up to all our recordings. She'll just be our new secret co-host. honestly, I'd love that. But here we go. We're going to jump into some of our recommendation requests. So these come from our listeners. We picked out a couple we thought Noelle would like. We sent those over. She agreed to do these three. So let's jump in. Raylene, could you read off the first boy?
Yes. This one comes from Emma, who says, hi, Ariel and Raylene and Noelle. First of all, I want to say I love your podcast. Wow, that's wonderful. We love it when people say that. I'm looking for a book that's similar to my favorite book, One True Loves by Taylor Jenkins Reid. What I love about this book is that it's a raw romantic story, but it's categorized as general fiction, not romance. It's not cheesy in any way and has realistic characters. Can you recommend me general fiction books that center around romance? Damn. And they're also hoping for something with a happy ending, which I did not fulfill, but that's okay.
Uh-oh.
I couldn't do it.
Well, okay, Raylene, with that teaser, you
start us off. I guess I should... I mean, I've talked about this book a lot, but I just couldn't pick anything else, so I decided to go with The Time Traveler's Wife.
I knew it. I knew that's what you were going to
say. I know. I'm predictable, but sometimes you've got to have a book that you recommend 18 times. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
you have My Year of Rest and Relaxation, and I have The Time Traveler's Wife. Yeah. Yeah, this book is completely general fiction, but the entire story is romance. Like, it's a romance that spans decades, and the entire story revolves around these two characters who are in love and everything that they go through. They go through some tragedies, but they also have wonderful times together, so I feel like it kind of works for the One True Loves comparison, because that book stressed the hell out of me. It's a great romance, but it's very stressful. Noelle, have you read it?
I haven't. I own it, though. I just bought it, like, 2 months ago.
It's so good. Yeah, because the entire time, it's like, oh my god, someone that, like, the main character thought was dead is actually not dead, and she's got these two people, and she doesn't know what to do. It's very stressful.
I remember you telling me about this book.
Yeah.
That's a stressful freaking time.
It's the most stressful romance book I've ever read, but I really, really liked it. And I feel like that vibe kind of translates well to this book, because this book is kind of stressful in lots of ways, but it's also very beautiful and heartwarming and touching while it is sad. So that's my recommendation. Take it or leave it.
Those sorts of stories really mess me up. I'm not going to lie to you. Like, there is, I mean, first of all, it's happened loads throughout human history where, like, a man went off to war, did not come back for a long time. Mm-hmm. The woman married someone else, and then the guy comes back. That makes me want to jump off of a cliff. I hate that so much. It's so depressing. Or, like, you know, do you guys remember, I don't know, have you either of you seen Castaway starring Mr. Tom Hanks?
Most stressful movie I've ever seen.
Oh, anyway. Noelle. I don't even know if I can recommend it. I honestly don't know, because I don't like watching that movie. It's funny because my family loves that movie, so they're always wanting to watch it. Mm-hmm. And especially when I was younger, when I was like a kid and a teen, and I had less assertion over what we were watching, we would watch it a lot. That movie really messes with me. And part of it is, it's, you know, Tom Hanks stuck on an island for a long time, and when he comes back, it's like, did she remain faithful? No, not saying anything, but I will say, it's horribly depressing. That kind of stuff is just so sad. It's so sad. You guys seen that movie, what's it called? Love Wrecked, starring Amanda Bynes? That is a throwback. This movie must have been like 2006, 2007. And it's such a weird idea, but basically, like, her and this hot guy that she works with and, like, wants to date get stranded on a desert island. And then
this is her rock and roll idol. What?
She goes on a walk to, like, look for coconuts or something, and she realizes that they're still actually on the resort that they thought they had gotten stranded from. So she just secretly will go onto the resort and, like, buy fish and then come and be like, I caught you these fish. And so she's kind of keeping him captive in order to get him to fall in love with her.
Hilarious.
Oh.
Anyways,
yeah, it's called Love Wrecked 2005. That is a very 2005 vibe for sure.
Yep. She wears like tiny jean shorts. It's a moment in time. And that's also what that book makes me think of, really. When you were talking about it last time, I was like, Love Wrecked. Amanda Bynes tricked that guy. Anyways, what the hell was the point of this question? Ah, yes, a romance. Noelle, what do you got? What did you think of?
So it's funny because this book is actually marketed as a romance, so I kind of bent the rules for it. But it doesn't. It's not totally romance. Mm. And that's 7 days in June. Let's talk about it.
I read
it in June, and it was excellent.
Did it take you 7 days?
It actually took me more like 7 hours.
Okay.
No, it was probably more like 2 days.
Boom.
No, I was really into it. I will say that it is romance, but it's more like right at the beginning, you know that these two fell in love and they've broken up and they haven't been together for like 15 years.
Mm.
And they're meeting like 15 Junes later. Mm. And they're trying to figure out, you know, they both, when they broke up, they both had questions that they never got the answers to.
Yeah.
And like, realistically, they shouldn't even have broken up because there was clearly a miscommunication. But you don't know what that miscommunication is. And it's just, it is just so good. And it didn't read like a like a fluffy romance to me. It was very tragic to me, but is a happy ending. So there's some sadness and some actual like deep conversation. And I feel like it fits this prompt because it's not romance. Like, here's love.
Yes.
And we love love. It's more like there was love. Oh, is it possible for it to come back? So
that's perfect.
That sounds actually completely perfect. Emma, don't listen to what I'm about to say. Go with what Noelle and Raylene said. I'm not a big romance reader. I'm really not. And obviously a lot of books have romance in them, but you can't even really call it, like, push it into the romance is a big part of it a lot of the time. So the first book that did come to mind for me was Writers and Lovers, which I know you love, Noelle. But
I almost said it.
I haven't finished it, so I can't talk about that.
Okay, then no.
But the half that I did read gives me these vibes because there are romantic subplots going on, but it's also just about this character going through her own journey. But again, I haven't finished it, so what the hell am I talking about? The book that I do pick is Persuasion by Jane Austen. Have you read Persuasion, Noelle?
I have seen the movie.
Yeah, that's enough. That's more than enough. did you know, as I said in our previous book news, that they're making a new Persuasion movie? Netflix, starring Dakota Johnson.
Sorry, my brain just skipped a beat. That is my boyfriend's number one Hollywood crush. So I'm interested.
I'm interested. We are into that.
So she makes it on my list as well, so that's fine. But that's amazing. I did not know it was her.
I know. It's very interesting casting. I'm very intrigued about what that will say. If we want to dive more into my YouTube viewing history, Dakota Johnson's Architectural Digest video. Wow. Her house is so beautiful. Raylene?
You know, she just moved out of it.
I still need to see that.
No, why? Well, these Hollywood types.
I think it actually might be, at least this is my information. Maybe I'm misunderstanding, but it was that people had found her address and she didn't feel safe anymore.
Something like that.
But it was a gorgeous thing. Her backyard,
oof,
a haven.
Oof. Ugh. That house was so beautiful. Anyways, what was I talking about? Persuasion. It is so beautiful. It is absolutely a romance because Jane Austen's are all romances. But I sort of feel like Jane Austen, I think the reason that people like Jane Austen so much is because they can enjoy this great romance throughout the novel, but at the same time she's packing in a lot of information about her characters and about class and about relationships that aren't just that romantic relationship. So you have our main character, Anne. Her name's Anne, right? Or am I going fucking crazy? All I can think of is Anne of Green Gables now. That's the only character.
She's the only
allowed.
Anne that matters.
That's the only Anne that I can't think about. Why am I so confused? And unfortunately, neither of you have read it or remember. It is Anne. No, I'm not crazy. It is Anne. Thank you.
Gosh, come on.
Christ. But yeah, so Anne is older. She's like 27, 29, lol. And she's like washed up. Right? She never got married, and the reason is that she had a love, a great love, Captain Wentworth, but at the time he was a nothing. He was a loser. And her family was like, you can't marry that guy. He has no money. He has no prospects. No. And she allowed herself to be persuaded out of it. And then this book is 10 years later, basically. He's back. She has been completely lonely, has never liked anyone as much as she liked him, and is now basically a spinster. And he is now a captain, he's wealthy, and he's very, like, wantable. So it's about a second shot, and it's my favorite Austen. It's also very short. So if you are scared of classics or scared of reading an Austen, it's a great way to go because it's easy.
Love that.
Wow.
Very
there we
nice.
Go. Raylene, what's our next one?
Our next one comes from Megan, who says, I've gotten back into reading classics and am determined to read as many as I can.
Nice.
I'm looking for an easy-to-read classic that is underhyped for how well-written it is. Mm. Beautiful language and writing are a plus. I love this little bonus here. She says, I have read The Great Gatsby. I have my own collection as well, and I'm not the biggest fan of Orwell's writing. Ooh! Rude. That's gotta hurt.
She just said that to hurt my feelings. You know what, Megan, how about you go read something really, like, go read Moby Dick. I don't know.
I like it, though, because Gatsby and Orwell, I mean, two very different vibes, so it was good to kind of get that piece of information.
That's true. All right, Raylene. Raylene, what did you pick?
I may as well start it off. Yeah, so actually this one kind of works for the last recommendation too. Giovanni's Room by James Baldwin.
Oh, yeah.
This is such a good book, and I feel like it would definitely appeal to fans of The Great Gatsby, so that's a good start. And I know this maybe isn't necessarily an underhyped book. It is very popular. A lot of people love it, but I feel like it might be underhyped in terms of James Baldwin's entire collection of books. I feel like it's very different from his other books. Most of his books are about race and being in America. This is about two gay men in Paris. So, and they're both white. It's very different and kind of controversial as far as James Baldwin's books go, just in terms of, you know, it being completely different from what he normally writes. But it was beautiful. It was so beautiful. Most of it takes place in a room, like the title insinuates, but it's just a beautiful, beautiful story. It's been a while since I've read it, so I don't remember all the details, but I remember really loving it, and I remember the writing being really, really wonderful. So
cool.
I strongly recommend that book.
Damn. All right, Noelle, what do you got?
I have just read Giovanni's Room, and I agree with your assessment. It is excellent work. I love it. I remember there being a lot of descriptions of windows that really call to me. So I loved. Damn. I'm gonna give two.
Good.
I mean, why not?
We love that. That's what we usually
This is what I mentioned earlier when I was like, oh, this might be a spoiler for a future question, but I just feel like North and South by Elizabeth Gaskell, it's a title we've all heard, but is it one we've all read?
I don't know. I'm interested to hear you talk about that one, because that's a mini series that I love and I've seen many times. I love the characters, I love the story. But I've never read the book, so I'm interested to hear that you like it. That's cool.
I've seen that miniseries you are discussing. Yeah. It is quite a beautiful, quite a beautiful sight.
Yeah.
I read it first for school, and it was my first graduate level class. And in this book, there's a whole chapter or a couple pages in a chapter that talks about fruit. So I wrote a whole paper on fruit, and it was my first A I ever got in a graduate level class, which was awesome. Whoa. I know. Whoa. So I was excited about that. And I just think that it, you know, the North is where they're in the industrial town. And so then to have these really deep descriptions of fruit and color and juice and flavor was really beautiful. And it feels like it's kind of like that throughout the entire book, where there's a lot of industry, but then you kind of go back to Margaret's past and she's like, oh, but let's talk about the sunshine and the pastures I grew up on and the roses. And and there's love, there's, you know, there's a romance for sure, and there's a devastating death in some dyed water, and it's just, I mean, it's tragic and it's beautiful and it's, I think it's lovely. So that's the first one.
Whoa.
The second one is not really. I mean, I don't know if it's a classic. It's 1930s, so it's hard-boiled detection, and it's The Maltese Falcon by Dashiell Hammett. It's one of my favorites because, again, grad school has made me read it, I think, 3 times now, and it's just because I keep taking classes with the same professor who loves it, so like we just keep reading it over and over again. But it's just, it's a special place in my heart. It all takes place in San Francisco, and I've been to some of the locations that are talked about in it, and it's, you know, I think it's way better than The Big Sleep by Raymond Chandler, and I think The Big Sleep gets more hype than The Maltese Falcon, so. Those are my two.
I haven't heard of that second one. And so it's funny that you had to read it 3 times when I haven't even heard of it 1 time.
Yes. Well, it's so good, actually. This is fun. My boyfriend's dream project car is a Ford Falcon. And so he bought a 1970s or 1960s Ford Falcon. And he has painted the whole... Because in the book, it's basically like you're trying to find the Maltese Falcon, which is a bird that is a statue covered in jewels and gems, but it's painted black, so you don't know how valuable it is.
Right.
And so my boyfriend's Ford Falcon is painted black on the outside, but then he has a ruby shifter for his shift knob, and then he's painted the inside gold with different sparkles. Cool. And so it's like, it's not only just a special book to me, but it's special to our relationship now, and I think it's fun. So
I think that's so cute. I love that story. I'm glad you added that on there. Okay. The book that I'm mentioning is one that I have mentioned too many times on the podcast, but it was the one that instantly came to mind when I read the thingy, so I was like, maybe Megan hasn't read The Bell Jar by Sylvia Plath quite yet. I guess I would struggle with, like, she points out, like, she wants a classic that's easy to read and that's not really known for how well written it is. I would counter that, like, most classics are revered for their writing, so maybe this one is, like, I'm sure people have talked about that when they talk about this book a lot. But obviously Sylvia Plath was a poet, and so because of that you can tell that she is thinking about sentences on, like, a line by line basis, and they are so beautiful. She is so good. And this is a book I'd been meaning to read for a super long time. It had just been on my shelves for ages. And I didn't go into it thinking, like, oh, this is going to be a book that I annotate like crazy because every page is going to have this bombshell line. But that's what happened. It's such a beautiful book. It's also, I found, really easy to read. It's kind of YA because it's like the character is younger. It's a very straightforward story. There aren't that many characters, and there aren't that many settings. So it's a pretty straightforward story. And I think, gosh, I would give this to my teen to read. Absolutely. So I think it's good for all ages. All right, Raylene. Yes, what is... Oh my God, I'm so excited. Our final recommendation request is absolutely absurd. Tash knocked it out of the ballpark here. Please read it out to us, Ray.
Yeah, and this one was a fun surprise to me because this wasn't on the list that we originally agreed on. And suddenly I was like, I'm recommending something to a horse. My God, how exciting. Maybe not to a horse per se. I'll just read the recommendation request. Hey, I love listening to your podcast and would love for you to recommend a book for my horse based off of his personality traits. He is very quiet / gentle, but stubborn, loves food a bit too much, haha, and always wants to be the alpha. Would love to hear what you come up with.
Amazing.
This was really interesting.
This is
really
such a good question.
This is just incredible. So before we even start to do this, Noelle, I just wanted to ask you, do you have a particular love of horses, or is this just when you thought this was funny?
Okay, so I definitely was a horse girl when I, you know, how everyone explains.
You were one of
those. Girls.
Did you have, like, horse posters?
Yeah, because I definitely at least had a few horse journals, but it was mainly because my aunt has horses.
Ooh,
so my mom's twin sister has always had horses that lives on her property, and so I always got to ride a horse at any time I was at her house.
Okay.
So I think when I saw it, and also just, like, recommending, you know, a book to a horse. Does it get better than that? I think not.
No, it does not.
We've done a cat. We've done
a dog.
A plant. Have we done a dog? Yeah, we've done a dog as well. So this is new territory, but also quite familiar. I guess I may as well go first. I'm the leader.
Yes, we have a
pattern. I'm leader of these things. So my first instinct was to say The Hunger Games, but then I decided to change it slightly. Well, listen to this. Okay. Quiet and but stubborn, that's Katniss. Loves food, that's also Katniss. Wants to be the alpha, that's kind of Katniss. She's like, look how cool I am with my bow and arrow. So that
You're
was my
wrong.
First that was really my first instinct. I was like, I don't know what else to choose, but I decided to change it to something that's just kind of similar to The Hunger Games that I don't know if I've talked about on the podcast yet, and that is Blood Red Road by Moira Young.
I remember you talking about this book back in the day.
It was so cool back in like 2012 or whatever when I first read it. This book reminds me of The Hunger Games in lots of ways. The main character is a teenage girl, and she lives in a post-apocalyptic world where everything is very sandy, like everything is kind of a desert, and there's no water anywhere, and it's just like kind of not good. And the book kind of starts out when her twin brother is kidnapped and taken away from her, and she loves her twin brother more than anything, and so she's now suddenly very alone, and she is kind of like Katniss in that she is very stubborn. She has a younger sister that she just kind of has to, like, drag along with her on this adventure, but she hates her younger sister. She only likes her twin brother, and so she's very kind of like gruff and like angry a lot. So that kind of reminded me of the, you know, quiet but stubborn alpha thing. And it's post-apocalyptic, so hunger is a big problem. But it's a really cool book. The sequels I didn't really care for as much, but this is a really good first book in a series if you like dystopian stuff. I know this is like so 2012, but whatever. I don't care.
I just realized that we don't know the horse's name, which feels like a tragedy to me. I just typed in Tash's name onto Instagram. Turns out there's a million of people named Tash, so I don't know why I thought that would work. But Tash, I'm sure we're going to try and get in touch with you because we need a photo of that horse.
Yes, we do.
Absolutely, we need a photo of that horse. So, yeah, for the people listening, we'll have that eventually, a photo of the horse on the Instagram. But in the meantime, Noelle, what do you got for this beautiful horse?
You know what? I had my own suggestion, and I will say it, but I also want to piggyback off of what Raylene just said, which is, why not also maybe Ready Player One? Just for the adventure the, you know, wanting to be alpha, like literally wanting to be first place in this game. Yes. So if your horse needs an adventure, that is plenty good. But my actual recommendation was Sweet Bitter, which is a book that I read a few years ago. And the reason why is, she, you know, the woman that moves to New York City, she moves there trying to like find herself, doesn't really know what she wants to do with her life. Kind of like Dakota Johnson in How to Be Single, if either of you have watched it.
I haven't seen
it. Moves there without any plans. It's just like, I want to be there. And so she does that and she starts working at a restaurant, which is where the food comes in. It's more sommelier, like she's more interested in the wine at this restaurant, but it's still like lots of descriptions of food and, you know, wine, and, you know, perhaps it would make the horse drool, which is what we want. And then, so she's definitely like shy and gentle at the beginning of the book, but then towards the end, there's another woman in the book that she starts to get very jealous of, and she kind of wants to be alpha. She wants to be the intriguing one.
This sounds so perfect. This is so perfect.
It stuck out to me, so.
You really got the food element and the alpha element. So wait, is the main character quiet / gentle but stubborn?
At the beginning, yes, because, well, maybe not the stubborn part. I mean, I guess she's stubborn because she's staying in New York despite the fact that she's actually kind of miserable and she realizes maybe it's not what she wants. But she is very quiet and gentle because she's never worked in the food industry. And so she goes to this really swanky restaurant that just hires her on a whim. And she is so scared of upsetting people, and she doesn't know how to be a good waitress. And so
it's perfect. This is the perfect book.
I think so. And now I want to reread it. So
have you read that book, Raylene?
No, but I feel like I should. No, I haven't. I've literally never talked about it before.
And they made a show of it.
Yeah, right?
They did. I saw the show. And then there was no follow-up season, I don't think. Was there season one?
I am on the IMDb, and they have now put out a
season. Oh, my heavens. Ooh. I know what I'm doing with my Sunday. Wow.
So there is a season two here.
Oh, I will be watching.
It's on one of those random side Prime video channels. It's on Stars. Like, makes you double pay for Prime.
Stars, you know, come on now.
I always find that so frustrating when you type in a movie and then Prime is like, yeah, we've got that movie. And you're like, oh my God, great, play it. And they're like, subscribe to Stars. And I'm like, God damn it. How dare you? okay, well, the book, I did want to say Blue Horses by Mary Oliver, simply because it's got the horses in the title, so that seemed pretty perfect, but irrelevant to literally every other thing that's mentioned on this request. The book I wanted to actually go with is Albatross by Terry Fallis, one of my all-time favorite books, a book I read almost like 2 years ago now, but I won't shut up about it. The main problem, though, that I've noticed about this book is that if you're not in Canada, apparently it's quite hard to get.
It's literally
book.
Impossible. Like, no,
people
why?
Keep
can't get
messaging
it.
Me. They're always like on my video because there's a couple of videos that I've really shouted the book out on, and people are like, "I can't get this book," and I'm like, "Uh oh, I didn't know." There you go. Probably maybe so. This is like an ebook kind of situation, perhaps. But I absolutely love this book. It is the story of a boy who's like 15 who gets a new gym teacher, a new phys ed teacher, and this teacher just randomly is reading the scientific journal, and there's like this wacky scientist in this sports journal who has this theory that if you measure all of the body parts of a human, like from shoulder to elbow, from pinky to knee, like you do all these measurements and you add and subtract to get the specific equation, you could figure out what this person would be good at in sport. Like, this person would be incredible at golf, or this person would be incredible at basketball. And most people get a really low score, and they're just, like, average sports athletes at everything. But she does this with her class, because she thinks it's, like, a fun thing to do with her new students. She measures our main character, runs it through the equation, and finds out that he would be an elite golf athlete. Like unseen levels, better than Tiger Woods levels at golf. And she's like, well, I mean, why not? Let's just go try it. Let's go play some golf. So he's like, I've never played golf before. And she's like, well, isn't this a coincidence? I'm really good at golf. And she had been like quite a great golfer in her time. So she takes him out golfing and he's fucking amazing. And it's like, not only is it hilarious, it's also just quite a moving story because it takes place over quite a few years. And you see this character who is quite gentle. He wants to be a writer. He's kind of a quiet character. You see him be thrust into stardom in the golf world, which is something he fucking hates. He hates golf. He thinks it's so stupid, but he wins everything. So he's a little stubborn in that he's sort of like, well, maybe I shouldn't leave this sport because I'm good at it and I make money from it. And in that case, I think the alpha thing sort of comes in because it's like he likes being a winner. He likes being like top of the thing. The food part does not come into it whatsoever. I will admit to that. But I think ultimately, actually, the story is about like this gentle character who has been thrust into an alpha situation and needs to get the conviction to not be an alpha. Like, because what he really cares about is writing. And he doesn't know if he would be a good writer or if he would get published. And there's like this whole interesting subplot about where he's like, I'm going to try getting published not using my real name. Because he's like, I think that I could easily get published as a famous golfer guy, but could I just get published on the merit of my writing? So he's got to like decide between doing that. And that's like the anti-alpha move, right? Mm-hmm. Oh my god, I love this weird book. It's so weird. It's super goofy and funny too. So I don't know. I find horses kind of goofy. Mm-hmm. So maybe there's a connection there as well.
Yeah. Golfing has come up twice on this episode, which I think is pretty interesting.
Oh, that's true. Jordan Baker.
What's come up twice?
Golf.
Oh, you're right. Golfing. My god.
What is I'm going to go for a round after this.
Let's all go golfing, ladies and gentlemen. 9 holes on me.
Sounds horrible.
Oh, that's so funny. I have a hilarious secret back story that I played a lot of golf as a kid. Oh. Because when I was a kid, we were renting a house and our landlady owned the golf club right almost next door. And she would let us go golfing for free. And she would let us go to the golf club for free. Like there was like a 2-week golf thing for kids. Golf camp. Me and my brother would go. So I weirdly know a lot about golf, even though I haven't played it in a really long time. I find it such a boring thing. You know what's absurd to me? Watching golf. Now that's truly interesting. That's
it
like,
takes so
what
long.
Are we all? That's one of those humanity moments where you're like, we really are a strange species, aren't we?
It is weird. My brother always plays golf rounds, and it's always been something he's talked about, but because he lives in Arizona, I never see him play golf. And then we went to this place called Top Golf. Do you both have Top Golf in Canada?
Is it like a golf store?
It's like a driving range. where okay, you're just yeah, hitting the balls out, but you're actually trying to hit targets, and oh, it's like, yeah. So we went there, and I was watching my brother play golf, and he's actually excellent, and it was the weirdest, cool, most disgusting sibling experience, where I was just like, nothing against golf, but I was like, how do I not know that my brother's this good at golf?
That's so you know? Funny. You should so, give him Albatross. Maybe he is secretly the character in Albatross.
I would love that. I think I should accept as an ebook, apparently.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, I need to start like a side hustle of the official Albatross shipping out shipper. Albatross. Yeah. I'll just buy a bunch of copies of Albatross and ship them out.
For a big fee.
Oh, man. Well, this was such a lovely episode, Noelle. It was so fun to have you. I forgot to tell you that we're going to wrangle you in for one more thing. We're going to get you to record an episode, a little short mini podcast episode for our patrons. So we're going to go on over to our Patreon right now, record an episode of Books on Bucket, and we're going to talk all about ebooks, actually. So this kind of transferred well, because Noelle has been texting me that she's gotten into ebooks lately, and quite frankly, I want to know what the hell that's about. So we're going to talk about ebooks versus physical books versus audiobooks. Versus, is there another one? I don't think so. We'll talk about that, though. We'll think. So thank you, Noelle, so much for being on the podcast. It's been lovely to have you. And we'll talk to everybody next week. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.